This is Fine Art Insights with Michael Rose. So welcome to episode 4 of Fine Art Insights. This is the long delayed 4th episode of what was supposed to be a monthly podcast. I got busy and now I'm back, so I'm going to do another episode now that we all have so much time on our hands. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about some of the scheduling issues around the COVID-19 crisis going on, and hopefully talk about, you know, some of my ideas about how artists can use all this new downtime that you have. So first I'll say that there's going to be 3 general areas that I'm going to talk about today. Areas where I think artists can make some progress during all their free time in isolation. The first is getting organized. The second is focusing on making art, on being in the studio. And the third is working on all those promotional materials and written materials that go along with making art. And before I sort of dive deeper into the different topics I'm going to talk about, I will say that because so many artists have had shows canceled or postponed and all those sort of things that are going on, I added a free open juried virtual exhibition call to my website. So if that's something that you're interested in, it's a very simple application. It takes about 5 minutes and you can find it on my website at www.michaelrosefineart.com. So if that's something you're interested in, you can do that right after you listen to this podcast. And the deadline for that is going to be April 13th. And then I'll have the show up on my website for probably at least a month and then archive it on my website. But I just thought it'd be kind of a fun opportunity to share people's work in spite of the fact that so many shows are getting canceled and postponed. So the first valuable activity I think artists can take part in during all this spare time that we have is to get organized. A lot of the artists that I work with, and I think artists in general, tend to have a really hard time getting organized. Most artists, I think, are in some ways sort of all over the place, you know, working on multiple pieces at one time, or, you know, the working process for a lot of artists is kind of sloppy. And so getting organized is, first of all, a nice way to sort of put your mind at ease in spite of all the sort of uncertainty that we're facing. That, you know, going through your studio, working to catalog some of your old work, I think could be a good task to work on. And then sort of organizing your pace of work, organizing your workspace, organizing your tools and materials. And I think that is going to take a different shape based on what your studio practice is like, obviously the kind of work that you're making and the type of work that you already have made and have sort of in storage in your studio. So for most artists, I think you're going to take that sort of advice and take it in, you know, whatever direction you need to take it in your own personal studio. And for some of you, that might mean, you know, beginning that cataloging process of a long time sort of archive of work. Maybe you have a lot of older work that you haven't really gone back through. And now is a great time to sit down and go through all of that. And one good strategy is to go through it all, assign everything an individual, you know, inventory number, or however you want to think about that, a code number, and try to put into a really good document, you know, the title of every work, the price of every work, the medium of every work, the year created. You can even include unfinished works, you know, works that you might not necessarily consider done, but that are in your archive nonetheless. And, you know, one good tool for that that I've probably mentioned before is even just using Excel, you know, just so that it's all in one organized place where you can keep track of it. And then you can assign the numbers to pieces just, you know, by penciling the number on the back, or if you want to get more advanced and put labels on the backs of things, you can do that. You know, Avery has great labels and great templates for their labels, and I use those a lot in the gallery. But that's sort of, you know, sort of one direction you can take organizing. It obviously now is not a great time to bring in an intern or something to help with that, but it's something that you can begin the process of doing yourself. And then hopefully, you know, as things normalize over the summer, maybe then is a time when you can bring in an intern or a helper or a student artist or something to help you finish off that organizing. And getting organized is the first step in making a proposal to a gallery for a retrospective or a longer term exhibition that's not necessarily just about the work that you've made in the last 2 or 3 or 5 years. So getting organized is really one of the first steps to that. Another way of getting organized is of really rethinking your studio space. Whether your studio is in your home or whether you have an offsite studio, or maybe you're a faculty member who has a studio at the university where you work, now is a good time to really reappraise the way you're using that space and rethink the way your space is laid out. You know, how are you making art? What types of tools are you using to make your work? And is there a better way of setting up your space that's more conducive to not just the way that you make work, but the way that you live your life and the way that you want to be organized? And I think one really good tool when thinking about that is looking at other artists, going to your friends who are making work and who have their own studio and asking them, you know, what is their setup like? You know, what is their strategy for storage? What is their strategy for, the types of tables and sort of surfaces they're using, or, you know, shelving units that they're using. And now's a great time to be going to a place like, you know, Blick or, you know, whatever your preferred supplier is, and looking at how you can integrate, you know, some of their offerings into what you're doing. And also a good time to be looking and seeing, you know, are other artists, you know, getting rid of material that you can use in your studio? You know, there's all kinds of ways that you can look at the sort of process side of it as a way to get organized and rethink your space. And in terms of space, you know, we're all visual people. If you're an artist or you're working in the arts, I think one good tool is to make a schematic of your space, you know, to measure out your space, to look at how you're using that space now and how it might be better used. You know, do you want to dedicate more of your space to hanging your own work within your studio? You know, some artists in their own studio space, they show their own work. Some artists show the work of their, you know, their friends and their peers. If for the foreseeable future, a lot of your shows are going to be postponed or potentially canceled outright, then now might be a good time to rethink of how you're utilizing your studio space and maybe potentially utilize your studio space more to exhibit your own work than to exhibit others. And you could invite people over, obviously, once social distancing sort of fades into the background, invite people over and even do sort of mini salons of your own. So that's, you know, that's another consideration when you're thinking about, you know, looking at your own space. And in terms of getting organized and what are you sort of thinking about as an overall strategy, I think when it comes to organizing an archive and when it comes to getting yourself organized, you always want to be thinking about the future. You want to be thinking about the types of people who are going to be using your work and looking at your work later on. And that means future collectors, future dealers, potentially art appraisers. And the more organized you are, the better it really is for everyone. It makes it so much easier on your collectors when they're getting work appraised, if the work is labeled on the back and says when it was made and what the medium is and, you know, has your information on it. And it also makes it easier for gallerists. So if, you know, once everything is settled down, you invite your gallery person or, you know, a potential gallery representative over to your studio, they can really see that you are organized, that you're ready to show, and that you're ready to hit the ground running once, you know, galleries can start hosting exhibitions and events as they normally would. So I think getting organized really has to be the first and sort of foundational thing that every artist is doing with all the spare time they have. Obviously, taking care of your family and loved ones first, but if you're going to be in the studio doing something, make it a productive thing. And it's a great time to do all of those tasks that you've been putting off on the organizational side of things. Then the next thing to think about is, what kind of art do you want to be making during this time? Because it's, in a way, sort of extra time that you didn't anticipate having, you know, that all of our schedules suddenly have completely opened up and every event for the next month or 2 months has been canceled. So all of a sudden you have all this time you didn't expect to have. Now I think is a good time to be working on all those ideas that have been kicking around that you haven't had the time or the level of intention required to follow through on. That now is a good time to experiment with a new medium that you haven't used before. Now is a good time to experiment in a new size that you haven't worked in before. Now is a good time to focus on new subjects that you haven't thought about before. And because so many of us are, you know, at home or around our homes, or, you know, most of us are stuck either at home or in our neighborhood or in our immediate sort of vicinity, now is a really good opportunity to draw inspiration from the things immediately around you. If you haven't worked on a still life in a long time, now's the ideal time to work on a still life. If you haven't worked on an interior sort of scene based on your life and on your studio, then now's a good time to work on something like that. In a lot of ways, it's a good time to make work that is extremely introspective, because that's all, you know, that's so much of what our focus is going to continue to be now. Of course, the creative component is incredibly subjective. You know, the type of work that everyone's working on is all over the map, is incredibly personalized. But my advice to artists right now is use this time wisely. Use it to do something that maybe you wouldn't otherwise do. Or alternatively, use it to prepare something that you know is coming up. If you're in an organization that has a show every November that you know you want to be part of, now's a good time to make a piece for that. Or if they do a, you know, if you're in an art association that does a member show every fall, now's a good time to make something for that. As it stands, it looks like most organizations are going to be back to mounting shows, hopefully by summer. Whether those shows will have the regular kind of receptions and programming and all that kind of stuff that goes along with them is still a question, obviously. But I think exhibitions will be back hopefully sooner rather than later. So if you are going to have exhibition opportunities, it's important to have work, to have new work and work that's ready to show. So that sort of goes back to the idea about getting organized, that looking at as part of that organizational strategy I talked about a little bit, that you should really look at your calendar too and examine what opportunities are going to be coming up and how you can make work and have it ready for, you know, if you're a member of the Providence Art Club where I work, we do our little picture show in November and December, has very specific guidelines. You know, as it stands, I can't imagine we're not going to do it. So now's the time to, you know, get everything in gear and make work for something like that. Or like I said, for a members exhibition or for an online open call where you don't have to ship anything, you just have to have the work ready. You know, those are the sort of opportunities that you can be getting ready for and making the most of this time and creating work and creating work that you're excited about too. I think that's sort of the other side of it. It's not just about, you know, slogging through things in the studio. It's really about making work that you're happy to be making and finding a sort of respite from all the sort of craziness that's going on right now. But making work is going to be a big component of how you can use this time and how you can use it really productively as well. And then once you're done getting organized, you know, you're going to be continually sort of organizing and continually making work. I think the other, you know, big thing that artists can do during this time with all the extra sort of spare time they're going to have is to finally sit down and work on the sort of written materials that go along with work that so many artists have such a hard time with and that so many artists don't want to deal with until, you know, a show comes up. This would be, you know, your bio, your CV, your resume, your artist statement, you know, all of those sorts of things. Now is the perfect time to sit down and edit those, update those, you know, finally sit down and update your resume and add all the shows that you've been in over the last few years and make it really reflect all the experiences you've had. You know, I can't tell you the number of times that I've worked with artists where I've gotten their resume and the resume stopped, you know, 3 years ago and they stopped adding things to it. And I know how many shows they've been in between 3 years ago and now, and it really doesn't represent what they've been up to. So now's a good time to work on things like that. There are a lot of good resources for those sort of documents and how to structure them. that you can find super easily online, especially at universities. I know RISD on their website, on like their career ed website, has a great resource for an artist statement and for resume sort of materials for artists. So that might be a good place to start. University career centers, especially art school sort of situations, are good places to find that kind of information if you need a sort of sense of like what kind of structure would work best for you. I do occasionally read artist statements for people and read resumes and give them sort of feedback on those. So if you're ever looking for an individual to look at it, you can look at someone like me, or you can look at your fellow artists who are showing regularly and who are producing that kind of written material all the time. Those are other good people to look at. So always have someone look it over, get a second pair of eyes on it, and think about, you know, how those sorts of materials reflect on what you're doing. But it's just the perfect time to go through and update them all. And you can make individual artist statements for individual bodies of work. You can have a general one. You can make, you know, one-page resumes that cater to sort of one side of what your practice is or what kind of art you're making or you're teaching or whatever. And then you can work on your longer form CV. But that is a perfect time to do it. I know it's something that everybody avoids doing. And so now there's, you know, now you have the time to work on something like that. And I think that also dovetails into the other sort of component of the promotional aspect of things, which is now is a really good time to work on your social media presence, your website. You know, if you don't have a website yet, now is a good time to sit down, photograph your work. You can do it with, you know, if you have an entry-level sort of camera, you can take great photos of that. I've seen people take incredible photos of their work with an iPhone. You know, you can do it. You can sit down and really work through those sort of problems too, of documenting your work as part of the organization and part of the making, but also tie that all in together into the promotion of your work. So you can think about, how can I present my work in the best possible way online? Think about how a biography goes along with that, how an artist statement, you know, explains your work, how a biography tells people more about you. And once you have all these materials together, the sort of archival materials that you'll get as you organize, the newer work that you'll get as you're making work, and then the sort of promotional collateral writing and stuff like that. Once you have all these things together, now's the perfect time to either focus on building a website if you haven't done it already, and or on updating your website if you have an older website. There are so many options out there for having your own website. I personally use Squarespace, which I think is incredibly user-friendly and easy to work with. Some of the other options are Weebly and Wix and WordPress. And then I know a lot of artists who use Fazo, F-A-S-O, which is a specific website builder just for artists and for artists' needs. So that's another option. But, you know, as with anything else, talk to your fellow artists, talk to artists that you know who have a really good website that you admire, and ask them, you know, either who made it or how did you make it? Which service are you using? And you can sort of work through it, you know, build your website without having it go public, and then work with, you know, your colleagues and friends to see, you know, what works best with your work, what presents your work in the best light. And because so many people now, we're all at home, we're all on our, you know, tablets and our phones and everything, now's the perfect time to launch a new website, or to, you know, if you don't have an Instagram yet, if you don't have a Facebook dedicated to your work, and now's a good time to do something like that, because now you have the time and the resources, and because there's so many captive eyes on social media and on, you know, looking at websites and reading about artists and reading the news and stuff, now's a good time to share those sorts of things too. So it all really ties together, I think. I think that really the first thing is getting organized. This is, and these sort of three steps of making art and then promoting the art and sharing the art on an individual sort of basis, this would basically be the advice I would give an artist any other time of the year, you know, if it weren't for, you know, this crazy thing going on right now. But first, get organized, organize all your materials, work on your archive, get everything together, photograph the work that you care most about, really documenting in a digital, virtual format. Then as you're making work, really think about the type of work you want to be making. Really be critical of yourself and focus on putting together new work that's a solid, strong body of work that you can use once things begin to normalize again. And then you can also use this time and all this sort of introspective activity that I was talking about to put together really quality, clear, concise, written materials that support your work and that tell people your story. And then tie those into a good web presence, whether it be on social media and on a website or just on social media. But I really strongly encourage artists to get their work online, because I know so many artists who sell their work very regularly through their own website in addition to through whatever galleries they're working with. Or they use their website to promote the shows that they have coming out or the instruction that they're doing. You know, there's all kinds of ways that you can utilize it. And it can be intimidating, but I think a lot of the intimidation around getting a website ready and getting the written materials ready, at least from the artists I've worked with, tends to be this idea that there just isn't enough time to do it. And now you do have the time to do it in some sense. But obviously, you know, first and foremost, as we're going through this sort of crazy time, you know, take care of your own, take care of yourself and your family. And but then I think focusing on art can be such a great, you know, healing sort of thing to do. I think so many, you know, if you're an artist, you know what it's like to be an artist and what it's like to make art, but it can be an incredibly, you know, soothing and relaxing thing, even if it is your work. I think it can be. So now's a good time to focus on that and to find a sort of refuge in making art and in working on your practice and in making your practice central to what you're doing. So those are my three core tips for how to use your time now that, you know, we have a lot of extra time. And the other thing I will say is just as a reminder, I do have this open call up and it's free. Application's really short. I hope you'll go to my website and take a look. And if you have any questions about it, shoot me an email. It's just michael@michaelrosefineart.com. And I'll be happy to work with you on that. And that show, once it's up, will feature, I'm hoping to feature 25 artists. I already have more than 25 applications, so I may raise the amount of artists that I feature, but it'll probably be in the 25 artist range. And it'll be my first experiment with hosting an online exhibition on a website. So hopefully once that's up in the future at some point, I'm hoping to do a podcast about that experience and you know, utilizing websites more to host virtual sorts of exhibitions, which is something I think we're all learning a lot about now. So I thank you for listening to episode 4. I hope you all stay well, and I'll see you again here soon. Thank you for listening to Fine Art Insights with Michael Rose.